There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. What? Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live. Welcome to the December edition of No One Is Illegal Radio on Off the Hour, part of CKUT's Open Conspiracy for Social Change, 90.3 FM in Montreal, www.ckut.ca on the web. So we'll be hearing directly from the voices of frontline supporters fighting against injustice on behalf of their family members. Later in the show, we'll hear an interview with Khadija Benes, the twin sister of Muhammad Anas Benes. More than a year ago, on December 1, 2005, Muhammad Anas Benes, a Montrealer originally from Morocco, was shot by Montreal police at the corner of Côte de Neige and Kent, just minutes away from his home, in still unexplained and mysterious circumstances. The Benes death is a murderous example of racial profiling by Montreal police, as Khadija Benes will explain later in the show. But first up, we'll hear from two close family supporters of Indigenous political prisoner Trevor Miller. Trevor's been in prison since August, in preventative custody for his role in defending the Indigenous land grant claimation at Six Nations. Yesterday, Trevor was again denied release at a bail review hearing as he continues to reject the authority of the colonial courts. We will hear today from Trevor's mother and cousin as they speak about Trevor's situation as an Indigenous political prisoner, as well as a larger context of resistance at Six Nations. This month's show is produced by members of the No One Is Illegal Collective in Montreal. No One Is Illegal Montreal is a part of a worldwide movement of resistance fighting for justice and dignity and the right for self-determination for migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. Our campaign is in public confrontation with the Canadian state, denouncing and taking action to combat racial profiling, police brutality, detentions and deportations, exploitation and wage-slave conditions, as well as opposing the displacement and genocide of Indigenous peoples on Turtle Island. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Illegal Radio, part of CKUT's Open Conspiracy for Social Change on Off the Hour. We're at 90.3 FM in Montreal and at www.ckut.ca on the web. Yesterday, Monday, December 11th, 31-year-old Six Nation Indigenous activist Trevor Miller was again denied bail at the Cayuga Courthouse near Caledonia, Ontario, in front of Judge David Marshall. Judge Marshall owns land on the disputed Haldimand Tract and has previously ordered police to remove Indigenous protesters from their land on the Grand River at Six Nations, orders that were later overturned on appeal. Trevor Miller has been in preventative custody for more than 4 months, since August when he was arrested at the blockade at Grassy Narrows. He's being charged in relation to incidents at the Six Nation land reclamation when he, along with others, defended the site against the alleged U.S. Border Patrol ATF vehicle that appeared on the site. Trevor, who's a Mohawk from Six Nations of the Grand River Territory, steadfastly refuses to recognize the authority of the colonial courts and demands to be released to his own people. Trevor Miller is an Indigenous political prisoner. Trevor has been referred to as the Forgotten Warrior because his situation was not publicly known for several months until a letter he wrote to his mother was published in a local Six Nations newspaper. Jaggy of No One Is Illegal Montreal interviewed Trevor's mother, Trudy Miller, earlier today and begins by asking her about the Forgotten Warrior letter. We'll hear that interview right now.
In one of his letters that he wrote to a newspaper, he referred to himself as the Forgotten Warrior.
Oh. Well, he was in there craving anybody. Like, it was just me and Angel pretty well, and Trevor that was, and my sisters that were going to court. Nobody was even there with him. And it was just me mainly going to see him in the jail. He hadn't heard from anyone else. He's never heard from any of his so-called friends. And he was just getting frustrated. And when he would ask for help from the people that he stood for, he never even got no response from them.
Well, I guess this is a case of better late than never, because it seems that now there's at least a bit of support that's emerging. From what I understand, the courtroom was full the last two times that there was a bail hearing, that there was a vigil that was held outside of the detention center, and there's another vigil planned for this week. Do you think there's been a change in the way people have regarded this case?
Yes, there has. Once he put it in the paper, then we started getting more support from the outside. And it wasn't until we started getting support from out there, then our own people started stepping up.
Trevor is taking a pretty courageous stance by refusing to recognize the authority of the colonial courts. Can you just describe what that's about? Why he's refusing to recognize the authority of the courts?
Well, for one thing, Trevor has been more or less threatened in there too. All he's been told is if he was to plead guilty, he'd be walking today. And Trevor says he's not going to plead guilty. He said, why should he plead guilty? He didn't do anything. And the proof that they've gotten, and they've showed us a lot of the proof through that 7 days of bail hearing, and it doesn't show Trevor doing anything wrong. He might have been mouthing off, but everybody does that. But he did not even so much as swing at anybody. And they got him on all these charges. And when that came up, like, we kept questioning why they are charging him. What have they got on him? And they haven't come up with concrete enough evidence for us. You know, like, I mean, it shows. And the pictures, more. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're just making an example out of him, really.
Why do you think they chose Trevor? From what I understand, he was arrested in August at the Grassy Narrows blockade. Is it because he's so outspoken? Is it because he's so uncompromising? Why do you think they're choosing
because
to make an
Trevor's
example out of him?
Because Trevor's so strong for his people, and he refuses to give that up.
At the bail hearing yesterday, it was Judge David Marshall who was presiding over the court. How did that feel to have that particular judge deciding whether or not your son would be released or not?
Well, I just looked at it this way. When I heard that Judge Marshall, even before we got in there, we heard he was going to be in there. I said that was just another tactic of prolonging this. They keep doing that. They find everything they can to stop Trevor from getting out there. And they will not listen. We've been in the court. We've had three GAPs walk out of the courthouse on us. They refuse to listen even.
Do you have any hope that this could be resolved and that Trevor could be, at the very least, out on bail?
Oh, yes. I have a lot of faith in the Creator, and he's going to look after it. And like I said, when someone does wrong, they will pay for it. I'm getting upset again. And when I feel they've been doing him injustice, really. Like, their court system is unreal. They pick and choose what they want to do with it. And that's with every judge, or every JP, whatever you want to call them. But that isn't our law. And I don't know. I don't really get this whole issue, because we're even where it happened. That's still our land, and it's been a proven fact, even in negotiations, that was never ever given up. And it's half mile on each side of the plank road, and that Canadian Tire is in within that half mile. And they still consist that it's theirs, you know, like...
I just wanted to ask, just ask one more question, and that is, what exactly can people on the outside do at this point to support Trevor, to support you, and to support others that are involved in the situation? What kind of support can people give?
Right now, we could use their support. We're going to hold a rally at the Attorney General in Toronto on Monday, the 18th.
And when is Trevor's next bail hearing going to be?
They made it for January 8th.
All right. Trudy, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Yeah, well, I want it out there that I'm very proud of my son, though.
Welcome back. You were just listening to an interview with Trudy Miller, mother of Six Nations political prisoner Trevor Miller, who remains in detention at the Hamilton Wentworth Detention Facility in Ontario. Earlier today, Juggy of the No One Is Illegal Montreal Collective was also able to speak to Trevor's cousin, Angel Smith, who's been working to support Trevor. In this longer interview, Angel provides an analysis of the broader issues concerning Indigenous sovereignty, the Great Law, and the Two-Row Wampum, the Haldimand Tract Treaty, as well as the continued resistance of the women and men of Six Nations. We'll now hear from Angel Smith just one day after Trevor Miller, Angel's cousin, was again denied release from the preventative custody of the Canadian courts and prisons.
It's Angel.
Hi, Angel. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm okay. This situation, I know it bothers you the most, but... it's really outrageous that they'd held somebody in preventative custody for 4 months.
Yeah, and if you stop and think about it, if the Canadian government or the province of Ontario had any sort of documentation or proof that that land belongs to them, why are they still in negotiations? You know, they have absolutely nothing because they know that this is the Haldimand Tract. And with the Haldimand Tract, the treaty... that's for the Mohawks and those that wish to follow, which makes us allies to the British Commonwealth. Now, understanding that, that makes us allies, not subjects of Canada or their laws. They're supposed to stand along with us as a nation to nation, and that's where the Two-Row Wampum comes in, of them keeping their business in their boat and us keeping our business in our boat. And for the years, it's been a process of assimilation and genocide to our people, to just squatting on our land, slowly trying to assimilate our people and our children and in the schools and everything. It's just the greater picture of it all is assimilation. And one thing that with Trevor making this stand... yeah, he could plead guilty. What? The only thing he would plead guilty to is fulfilling his duties and responsibilities under our law of looking after the land and protecting the women, the children, and the elders. And that's what the Gunasuluk Goa, that's his job as a young man. So understanding the government not being able to abide by all these laws and everything that they put out there, you know, they, like you said, they make them up as they go. And even their own law, they're breaking their own law. So basically, if you take a look at Trevor and his situation, the way it stands, is he's being held a political prisoner. Because when the two nations don't want to see eye to eye and mind their own business and keep each other's business in each other's canoe, then you know for a fact that they're outstepping their boundaries once again. But I think this time around with Caledonia and the way it stands is our people have had enough of being stepped on and violated. I don't think our ancestors would have made all these treaties if they didn't think someday our paths would cross. So I don't know what else I can say other than having people see and understand that we're not out there to be violent or cause any chaos of any sort. It's a fact of the matter is that the government has not been listening to our indigenous people for hundreds of years. And every time you turn around, if they want to assimilate us and make us into them, because what we are is just natural, born sovereign people of blood, flesh, and bone. You know, we're just human beings. We bleed, we everything, just like anybody else. So I don't know how to express what's going on here. And when you boil everything right down to the T, it should be the government dealing with the Mohawks and Grand River Territory, because that's what the treaty lies within. And Caledonia, that's within the Haldimand Tract. The whole part of it, 6 miles wide, 6 miles deep from the mouth to the source. And that's from Dundalk to Dunville. And it's so clear, and a lot of non-Native supporters have come to us and talked to us and said, those treaties and land deals and everything are so clear. You let us come and live on your land and stuff like that. Why can't the government see past that, that this treaty is so clear? The leases have been up. The 99-year lease has been up, and they're still trying to take more of what we have. But our people in this day and age are more educated, understand their system that much more. We're still being who we are as Ongwehoni people. And this time around, that education is going to help enforce our sovereignty. And yeah, they have our young warrior, but that's what you would call a political prisoner. They don't want to admit to it, but it's no different than people being from Iraq and U.S. If Iraq has one of their U.S. people because they're over there doing something, fighting for their country or their people, how does it make it any different?
Angel, it strikes me that part of the battle is obviously on the site, but part of the battle is in the courts. So can you just describe a bit more? You've talked about it quite extensively, but just maybe speak a bit more about his particular refusal to recognize the authority of the colonial courts.
Well, understanding that, it's that process of two nations, okay? We are our own people, and under the two-row wampum, it has been stated, and that treaty has been used in courts before, that in this instance of this matter is, this man was fulfilling his duties and responsibilities in accordance with our law, not breaking anybody else's law. He was defending his people and protecting them. So basically, the other people were trespassing into our territory and acting as an aggression towards our people, causing a conflict of some sort. Just, you know, everybody says, well, you could see plain that it was a setup, whatever was happening. The other thing is having the ATF vehicle here. Now, if they were just here as visitors, why weren't they in just a regular car? But they were in a vehicle that had, just like a police car, the back doors all locked and you couldn't get in or out or whatever it may be, and all their high-tech equipment and surveillance equipment and everything. So if they're just passing through as visitors to see what's going on, that's a bunch of malarkey, far as I can see it. Because if you think about it, what is a U.S. vehicle border patrol doing here in Canada's business? Is it because Canada can't control what's going on? They don't know how? They start something and they I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's very baffling to a lot of our people and even non-Native people as to why the ATF vehicle was here in the first place.
Angel,
yeah.
Angel, I asked Trudy this question, I'll ask you if you can just tell us more about Trevor as a person, because in this kind of situation, we don't really get to know more about who he actually is as a person. Can you tell us more about your cousin?
He's a fine young man. Any man that would stand up and fulfill his duties and responsibilities in accordance with our law, I give great honor to him, because there's a lot of our people on this territory that had nothing to do with it. Didn't even want to think about it. Him not understanding everything to the full was learning from his elders. And that's a big process of how our people learn and we teach and understanding our law and duties and responsibilities behind that. And him sacrificing his freedom for the greater of all of our future generations. I couldn't give more great honor to that young man. Now, even though he's my cousin, it doesn't matter. Any of the people that were down there, any of the men or the women that sacrificed their lives daily for the greater of all our future generations, they all deserve awards or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. Because it takes a great person to see through everything else and sacrifice to do the betterment for future generations. So him as a young man sitting in there and not being able to have the support from our people. And yes, we have divisions in our territory. It's no different than any place else in the rest of the world. But a big part of that comes from the assimilation. You know, but I think this big stand has brought us that much closer. And a lot of people that are like at the site or on the rest of the territory, a lot of people, unless you get the word out there, they don't understand everybody's stuff because they have to go through their regular lives as well, right? But now that we've got the word out there, we have that much more support. A lot more people understanding the process of this court system. Seeing what they're doing. And our people are quite baffled why they have them in there yet. It's injustice. It's inhumanity for what they're doing. And in the courtroom the other day, we asked them, Trevor asked, well, why are you keeping me here? He says, well, under Canadian law, blah, blah, blah. He says, well, I'm not a Canadian citizen. And the judge not being able to recognize it, Justice Marshall owns 1/10 of, like, over 100 acres of land along the Grand River in Cayuga. So, of course, he's going to go against us. Why? Because he's afraid that the Haldimand Treaty, the Haldimand Tract land, that, yes, all this land that I invested in, it does belong to the Mohawk people and those that wish to follow. And see, the biggest thing is that it's not about us kicking people off of our territory. We can live side by side with non-natives or these other people that do reside in these places. But there's big parts of land that are unused, unoccupied. Our population is growing. So we, as the rightful title holders to this land, we have the right to go in. And when we see people trying to make profit off of what belongs to us and our future generations, that's why you have the people standing up in Caledonia to say, you know what, enough is enough. You took enough of our land. Our population is growing as well, which they don't see. They want to just keep us in this boundary of 12 by 12 and not expect us to ever grow or expand. And as far as I see it, understanding our rights right from birth. This is how it's been from the beginning of time. I can't change my past. I can't change that I'm a Mohawk woman. I can't change things. The Creator made us these people for a reason. The Creator made the non-natives for a reason. Black, Asian, whoever you may be. He gave us all these rights and duties and responsibilities. I don't think he would have given us that if he didn't want us to be who we are. And one of the things is standing up for who we are and fight for what's rightfully ours. It would be no different if you turn the tables and say that it's the non-natives that have all this. We would have to respect them as well and understand what belongs to them. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks that we're just out there to get money, and when everybody thinks that, oh, well, you're all the tax money that we pay or going into whatever, we don't see half of that money. Right now, Brantford alone owes the people to Six Nations $327 million, or billion, actually, for back leases, back payment of our land. That's Brantford alone. Can you imagine the whole Haldimand Treaty track? It's phenomenal.
Angel, your cousin Trevor has been in detention since August. He was denied bail yesterday. His next bail hearing is up in January, so it's...
It wasn't even a bail hearing yesterday. That wasn't a basis of being denied. What happened yesterday was a bail review to see whether, yes, we can, this is 90 days, yes, we can review all the things again and let's set a date. How long is it going to... That's what that was about yesterday. But what our people did was put forth before the court to ask them once again, can you please release our young warrior back into the property of the Mohawk Nation? Because we feel that this is a political issue and keeping him there is illegal. That's why every time we go in there, we ask them, you have to put that question out there. And when you ask why, well, because of this or that. Well, we've been trying to figure out their system to the best of our ability. And when they don't want to give transcripts, they don't want to give disclosures and stuff like that, or it's going to take this amount of time. You know what? Anybody else has it almost immediately. So all we're doing, it's stall tactics. It's plain to see.
Angel, at this stage, what can people do to help support you and Trudy and, of course, Trevor, who's still in detention at the Hamilton Wentworth detention facility?
Get in touch with Amnesty International. This is a human rights issue. Canada Court Watch, for the way that they're handling their courts. Write a letter to the Attorney General. Write letters to the Queen, asking them, if they're allies to the British Crown, why is the Canadian government trying to oversee this whole issue? We've tried to send out letters to the Governor General and hardly ever get any response back. None of the people down in Caledonia should be negotiating with the province or the federal. They should be dealing with the Queen and her
Angel.
Getting these letters out there and recognizing from a non-Native point of view that if you see the injustice that's being done to our people, tell it through your own heart and your own words of what you feel, how unfair this whole process is. And we have documentation. We can give you the Haldimand Treaty and let you read it so that you can see for yourself that none of this stuff we're making up.
Angel, thank you for taking the time to speak about your cousin, Trevor Miller.
And that's the other thing is the rest of the people on charges. Trevor's only the first person. We have over 27 people to stand behind. But Trevor's just been the one that's been stuck in that system and not being able to get out. Okay?
Thanks again, Angel, for taking the
yep.
time.
Thank you very much. You all have a good day.